I guess we're ready whenever you are. Julie is online, but we can't unmute anybody. So she can hear us, we won't be able to hear her.
Okay. This is a work meeting of the Grantsville City Council. For the record, today's date is May 3rd, 2023, and the time is 6:15 p.m. This meeting is being held in the Grantsville City offices located at 429 East Main Street in Grantsville, Utah, and on Zoom. I'm Mayor Newt Critchlow. Three council members are present in the chamber, and Councilwoman Allen is on Zoom. And Councilman Bevan has been excused. Agenda item number one, regarding the fiscal year budget.
Okay, so I've kind of put a list of items in front of you that I want to get through tonight. One that's coming up right now is we have three vehicles for the police department in the budget, and there's two choices, buying them outright or leasing them. Before we went with Hink Lease, but now we're going through a different company, and the way they do it's a little bit different. You purchase them outright, and then through Zions Bank, we lease them through them. So just how I do it accounting-wise makes a difference. To begin with, I wanted to recommend let's just purchase them outright. But I talked to Alex from Zions Bank, and the interest rate was better than I thought. It's 4.85. For personal vehicles right now, you're talking about 7%. And the reason I'm recommending doing the lease is because our capital project fund has had a lot of money come out of it recently. We've had the wildland trucks, we've had $1 million for the well. We have a lot of projects coming, like the animal shelter. So that's why I'm recommending that we lease them. But I wanted to get your feedback and make sure that's how they currently, we were planning on it.
So are these additions, or these replacements, these three vehicles, it's three Durangos, right?
Yeah.
So we
ordered these about a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah, one of them will be for a new officer, but I believe the other two have just been needing that long.
Yeah, so Warner has a 2012 truck that just was hit in that accident. That would have been replacing what his. I was going to go into that truck. And then the new B needs one, and then we have Dan's that is old that we're going to replace.
Well, we have two officers
Dan
in the budget.
Dan is that what you said?
If there is allotted positions this year, extra positions, we could use that new vehicle. And if they fix that truck, I'll go in that truck.
So we own the ones that we are basically replacing these three new vehicles with?
No.
The truck and the, no, we've leased them?
We have the investigation vehicles, so the unmarked vehicles and the admin vehicles that we own some, mostly unmarked, because they don't get as much use. And then the patrol vehicles, we own a couple and lease the rest. I know this next budget year, we're gonna have a lot coming up on lease. So I think six or seven.
It takes over a year to get a police vehicle, pretty much. We ordered these at the beginning of the last budget year. And also, trying to remember the night of the
So basically what you're doing is we'll lease these. We can pay the monthly and the taxes on a monthly basis of all ones.
It's actually yearly basis with the Zions. Kind of a different process than we're used to.
It's fine.
That's the way I'd like to recommend it. They're actually ready for us to pick up now. We just need to know accounting-wise how you prefer to do it.
If there is a position, two positions, a lot of them, I'm going to try to move one into investigations. So one of those might be a consideration to not outfit and keep unmarked. And then you will
reach. Okay.
I did remember one thing I wanted to tell you. In the budget, there is one purchase of a lease that we're going to do. And it wasn't a patrol car. Was it $12,000 to purchase the lease out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have as many miles, and it hasn't been ran as hard as the patrol vehicles.
Okay.
I'd also like to talk about the donations. We talked about it a little bit in the last meeting, but I wasn't quite sure where you wanted to go. So as placeholders, I put $10,000 into his historic book, into a line just for the historic book. You mentioned that you wanted that to be separate, and it should be part of the regular donation line. So that's currently how it is in the budget.
Yep.
Is its own line. And then also, last year we had the youth baseball on a separate line because it was city infrastructure that we were improving. We wanted it to be used with city funds and city employees. So they did do a request this year. I put 5,000 as a placeholder, but we can change that.
I think placeholder's 2,500.
Oh, 2,500. That must have been what they requested. Sorry, I'm a little flustered today.
No, I showed the
I think they requested 5.
Yeah,
but,
I did a placeholder.
But line 106538 is only 2,500.
Yeah, you're correct. I did a placeholder of 2,500, which is what you did last year, so that is why I sent that number in. But you can do it up, you can do it down. And then there are the other entities that requested the donations. So Clark Historic Farm, they requested 2,500. The Grantsville Fire Auxiliary requested 2,000. Youth Baseball, like we just talked, they requested 5,000. Diamond D Barrel Productions requested 5,000. So in the past, we do give the Clark Farm $2,000 yearly, and the Auxiliary $2,000 yearly also. This current budget year, we also did the Wrestling Club, and they didn't put in a request this year. So I have $5,000 right now as a placeholder. Would you like to do the $2,500 again for the Park Historic Farm?
I think that'd be fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fire Auxiliary, do you want to do the 2,000 again?
Yes.
Does that back us into the number?
That gives us 4,500, so you have another $500. I think in the previous meeting, you didn't feel like you wanted to help fund the Diamond D Barrel Productions. You thought that should be more self-funded.
Yeah. And I mean, where the contact person doesn't live in Grantsville. And
yeah. Well, also another idea we wanted was a youth city council youth scholarship, but I wasn't sure how many you wanted to do and what amount you felt was appropriate.
Is that in addition to the GHS scholarship, 6568?
Yeah, so that's the one we do yearly. I forgot to add the youth city council into the budget, so it will change before the next meeting if you approve it.
What is that budget for the GHS scholarship?
1,000.
So we usually do 2,500 each, and they have to be going to school locally. So it's usually people going to the TVTC or Utah State.
And she has two that they selected. So
if we did one for this youth city council, we just bump the 500 to that scholarship fund?
Yeah, I could do that.
Could I get two?
If you want to take money away from someone.
Yeah, I do. I don't feel bad about that at all. No. I've got two seniors. I mean, I guess I could give them each 250. But, I've got four seniors, but only two of them that I would think had earned it. But
so if they're on the youth city council, they automatically get a scholarship?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, only two of them have earned it. The other ones, I don't feel like they participated enough to earn it. I would love to give them both $500 scholarships if we could find the funding for that. But if we can't, then I'm okay with doing $250 per person.
That's why we should do $2,000 tomorrow.
$2,000 to the Lake Auxiliary, to the Auxiliary, excuse me. Yes. Incorrect there. Okay. And then $500 for two scholarships.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't tell Susan and Laurie that it's my fault.
I'll put a scholarship on a separate line just so we can track it better. For the animal shelter, we actually had a PowerPoint to kind of show you the current conditions, but without the TV working, it's hard to show you. I will email that to you just so you can kind of see what we're talking about. So there's a few, I don't know if any of you took the chance to go visit the shelter in between meetings, but there are a few issues we have with it. Part of it's the location. It's right next to the sewer ponds. You have the smell. It's hard to get to. It's also not marked very well, so citizens coming in are unsure of where to go. The state of the animal shelter, like the structure, is pretty sound overall. It is older. A lot of the kennels are rusted and falling apart. They need to be replaced. The biggest issue we have with is safety. This isn't a city building that we can have the animal control officer in all day. There's not windows, there's not a second exit. We actually had our previous animal control officer actually got trapped in it one day and had to be rescued.
You have to tell me that story someday.
Yeah, but that's a big problem. It doesn't meet safety standards to have employees there or the public. It's also very hard for citizens to interact with the animals separately. And I'll send the slideshow and hopefully.
So what are we looking to do? Move it to a different location?
That's what we're proposing.
The new building?
That's what we propose. Mainly when we get our new mechanical plant, we don't want people down there.
Right.
You know.
Where were we thinking of moving? Do we have a place?
Just to this property that we have here on Park Street.
That gate that's there, that just off to the one side.
And we don't have to make it a fancy building, you know?
The great thing about it is it's impact fee eligible. Not 100%, but we can put about 36% of impact fees in to help build it bigger so that when we get a bigger population, more animals, it can absorb that. So right now in the current capital facilities plan, it's estimating a 4,500 square foot building. I think that's a little large for what we need right now. But that's something that we'll do in the process is, you know, form a committee, look at the size requirements, talk to other shelters, and see what fits our needs. So right now I have the design of the shelter in the budget.
At the 40, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah, if you'd like to move forward with that, we can. And we'll definitely come to you with the size that we want to do and ideas before.
Yeah, I'm good with the design.
Yeah, I think we need to do it.
And as we design that, and there's some people that I would like to have involved with doing that.
We'll definitely go to other shelters and see what works for them, what doesn't, but the need is there.
Have some citizens involved.
And there's like so many opportunities for programs that we can get a safe, more citizen-friendly shelter, like, so that we could alleviate some of what the police department has to do in maintenance and things. I mean, we can get some awesome volunteer programs going.
We feel like we could get a lot more volunteers if it was...
They didn't have to go through the sewage pond.
They didn't have to go through the sewage pond. They had a space that was...
Yeah. You know. So I'm thinking once we get, you know, like a better building, it's actually going to save us money because we'll be able to save more time and effort from the police department and get volunteer work, and I think it'll be a really good thing.
And so the next item I wanted to talk to is actually the RDA wages. So right now, the city council members get a wage for the RDA, the mayor, some of the city staff, the engineer, the attorney, the recorder, and me. But one thing we neglected to do when we switched over to have a mayor and a city manager is we didn't include the city manager in that. He spends a lot of time with that. We will talk about this in a separate RDA meeting since it is RDA related. But I just wanted to bring that up and tell you that that is a change I have in the current RDA budget right now. And so what I'm proposing is just to match it with the mayor's current wage for the RDA, which is $103.85 per pay period.
Okay.
Okay, and so the community development department. So currently in the budget, I actually have us at a loss for revenue. it is something that the department can absorb. They have some funding that will help float them. There's a couple of reasons for it. We actually, the developments have slowed down a little. Some of them we take in the money at the beginning, and then we have to do the work for a while. So I feel like what I have in the budget is reasonable and will work. We did do a fee study with Zions. After going through the process and looking at it, we'd actually like to table it and not move forward with the recommendations. We feel it was a good learning process. At the time, we didn't have a lot of data because before we hadn't been tracking how many subdivisions, how many CUPs we did, how many PIDs. So we feel like if we waited and we redid the fee study, it could be more accurate. We'd know how much time everything took. And also the processes are changing. The state's making us change the process we do.
And with the iWork that we have now, we're able to
track it
and the reports that will tell us some of that data that we were lacking before.
Well, we're actually changing our process ourselves with the minor subdivision. We're changing the amount of time, the process it goes through. So we just like to hold off on that and do it when we can get more accurate numbers.
Will that affect, like, the people that are trying to do, like, the minor subdivisions? Or are they still going to be?
So we can't change that fee until you guys actually approve the different process. So as soon as you approve the different process, we can create a fee to match the amount of time.
Okay.
But right now we feel like our fees are defendable to the point that we feel like it's best to wait and make sure that we have more accurate information for a study.
Okay.
And then something new we put in the budget this year was some money for a water conservation program. Cabot's been amazing. He's got a new program that's helping teach our citizens how to be more water wise. And so we put $5,000 into that. This can help with public information, sending out information on how to do it. It's just a start. There's lots more we can do, but we wanted to start somewhere. And then, so before I get into reviewing the budget more line by line, do you guys have any questions or concerns you want to talk about?
Yeah, I'm curious on almost every salary and wage increase. Just seems rather large to me. If I just look at prior year accrual and proposed budget, or even current year budget, right? However you want to look at this. Prior year actual, current year-to-date budget. I'm struggling a little bit. A couple of
explanations for that. That current year-to-date was actually from December.
Okay.
And in the previous meeting, I had told you that we've had some allocations that were put in our computer system wrong. And so those numbers haven't been adjusted yet. So we had the sewer employee that should have been going to the sewer that was actually going to the water fund. We had park employees that were going to the water fund. So those numbers in December, they're not accurate. I haven't had a chance to review them. What I did for the budget numbers is I did 6% of what everybody's currently making. And we're not saying everybody, well, I guess that, did you want to propose everyone do the 6%? Yeah.
We were thinking of doing 6% as a COLA for everyone. And then we would do a salary study.
With our new HR person and maybe look in December at changing anything that was really out of that.
So is it safe to say then that the total increase in salary and wages for the whole budget is 6%?
Not for the whole budget, from what we currently are, because there were changes that you approved mid-year, like adding an officer that may not reflect and mistakes that we fixed. But from our current, what we're paying everyone now, it's 6%. So the current employees will see a 6% increase.
Okay. And then there's, let's talk about benefits. If you can, what's the increase to our employee benefit line? Where's that coming from? What's the...
So our percentage increase that we got this year was 1.1%.
Okay.
So it was pretty minimal as far as percentage.
That's right.
But obviously it still increased on that. But I think probably some of the benefits, I would say...
For the new positions that we've approved.
Would be the new positions. If you're looking at the overall... I'm not exactly sure besides the new positions. If you're looking at each individual one, I would say it's the same issue with the allocations. There's issues there with allocations.
We're still trying to fix.
So even though these numbers may not accurately reflect it, what you're saying is in benefit increases, it was only the 1.1%.
For health care.
Got it.
So I don't know what URS's changes are right now.
No, we haven't seen their URS. Will change some of the tier two benefits, especially when it comes to public safety.
Got it.
And even those that are in the hybrid, it changes a little bit each year.
So that's the health insurance. You've got the health insurance line item.
Yes.
And you've got the employee benefit line item.
So that is the URS retirement, that's your taxes, your
right.
portion of the Social Security, federal taxes, that's what goes into that line.
So you're saying salaries and wages total is 6%. And you're saying health insurance was 1.1%?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Compared to Tula's, which is actually a lot higher, we did really good this year.
Good. And then the employee benefit line item.
Mm-hmm.
That includes everything from
retirement.
Home allowance.
Holidays.
Holidays mainly come out of the salaries and wages line, just for the way you have to report to URS.
Okay.
For the police department, we did do a new thing this year, which we haven't in years before. We are putting the event wages, like when they go to the Lantern Fest, the reimbursable ones. We're putting an estimated amount for that in with the salaries and wages. And we're keeping his overtime budget for the overtime he can control. So we're doing that for his training, for when he has to fill another shift. Is that correct? And that way... it's easier to track, it's more visible, but we did put a estimated amount for events into salaries and wages. I believe it was $60,000.
Do you know the line item, or is that?
Their department's 1054.
I'm in 1054, I'm just looking for that. I don't see $60,000.
It starts at the bottom of page. Page 5.
Yeah, I'm there.
And then you roll over to page 6.
I'm just wondering where the 60,000 is.
So that's included in the 1054-11, that 1,166.
Okay.
I included an additional.
So it's in salaries and wages.
Mm-hmm. And then he has that separate overtime line, the 1054-12. We put in $55,000, and this is for if someone's gone and they have to cover a shift, or if they need to do a department-wide training, which they need to do to several together, we go into that. Before, we budgeted more. Last year, we budgeted $85,000 for overtime, but that was including the events and everything all together, and we found out that it was hard to track what was controllable, we just had a lot of events that week, so that's why we...
So of the increase to the $1.9 million in salaries and wages, what do you think the estimate is for the special events?
But I put in 60,000 for that.
60,000 of that.
And some of that will be reimbursed through the grants.
Well, we did put in a part-time administrative assistant for the police department, and we put in two new officers into that department. The part-time animal control officer actually has a different department it goes into.
Right.
Well, some of it went down just if you have an officer leave that makes more money and you bring in a guy that makes less. So the police budget is hard to estimate. And we will be looking at these numbers again, and we'll be doing an amendment in December. This has been an interesting budget year.
So, Jesse, tell me again why you're thinking 6% COLA, and then you wouldn't spend anything. You're just giving a flat 6%, and there's no there's no increases to top performers or...
Yeah, mainly because of just the inflation and cost of living. We looked at the Medicare rate, what they gave their people, and I think they were 8.5% in October. A lot of the other jurisdictions that we've looked at are anywhere from 5.5% up to 7% on their COLAs.
What's our health insurance employer to employee split?
It's 85-15, so the employer does 85% and the employee does 15%.
And did we share the 1.1% equally, or did that?
Yes.
Well, we would like to reevaluate our wages when we get our new HR in and make sure we're on track with other communities. If we were to make changes, we would want that to be probably in December when we do the budget amendment.
So I think one of the things we've got to be clear about to the public especially is the misclassification of departmental money. Because I think we all get hit up by citizens that start looking at this line by line, and they start looking at some of these discrepancies and bring it to our attention. And I just, you know, I think we've got to dig in. I would love to know, okay, there was a misclassification, and that's, you know, two individuals for water were in sewer, and hence that's the swap. But if there's a misclassification, it's hard to explain why all of them are going up. You know, I mean, if you say, hey, there were two people in sewer, okay, well, that should decrease sewer because they were, their actual was in sewer. So, you know, I mean, I think we've got to talk a little bit better about this whole misclassification of who was rolling up into what. As well as the idea that, look, we have employees that wear multiple hats, and so we're also estimating their time spent on water, on sewer, on whatever it might be. And so I think we just need to be as transparent as we possibly can on that.
Yeah, we can add some information. So right now our budget is on the website, it's in a budget book, but yeah, we can add a section just informing the public this is how our wages are split, because we have like one public works guy, just like you said, that wears multiple hats.
Yeah.
And so his wage is going into different departments at a different rate, and so
absolutely,
it could be very confusing for the public. So yeah, we'll,
it could. I mean,
I agree.
They basically just look at this line item, right? You know, and also, you know, you increased these salaries by 38%. Well, no, we did by 6. That's not what the budget shows, right?
Yeah.
So we've got to be, with budgets, you gotta be able to follow the dollars as easily as possible. And you know, I mean, I think, like even the community and development, you know, we're at the, you know, we budgeted 290 and now we're budgeting 400. You know, that's a 30% increase.
So that was a budget error I did.
Okay.
At the budget amendment, at the beginning of the year, it was actually a lot higher. At the budget amendment time, I actually didn't calculate it right.
Okay.
And so that is actually a budget error that I corrected.
Okay.
I do apologize for that. And that is part of it, is we want to fix it. If we notice some employees in the wrong spot, we want to move them to their time spent. So that 100% is part of why it looks different.
Okay. I just, again,
no, it would be nice
from a transparency perspective, even if we have to admit, this one didn't get calculated right,
One,
let's be as transparent so everyone here has a good idea of, oh yes, I know why community development has increased.
So when I made the budget error is before, when we did the budget amendment, I was calculating Cabot's, Stan's, and Lenise's wages into it. But I forgot that at the same time, some of Jesse's wages goes into it and some of Brett's wages go into it. So
it
does get more confusing where we do the allocations,
but
I think it is a good thing. So we will get that done.
Is there a...
We forgot Cody's too, because he's an inspector and he's 100% over that. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
His salary before was in a different line item.
It was spread out more with the public works ones with water and sewer, but his inspecting is done for new development, so that's where the cost should go, because we wouldn't need it if we didn't have all this new development coming in. So part of it is just trying to correct it, make it better. But.
So do we have the right software and tools to do that? I mean,
when we're fully staffed, I think we will need to look into.
The issue is just the cost of new software is one of the ones we looked at last time was about $100,000 to change, because we're not just changing just the payroll software, we're also changing our billing software.
Sure.
And all of those. So it's quite an endeavor. We're watching Twilla County right now. They're going to a different software and they're having some
issues
with it. And they're a lot larger than we are. Talking to Cammy Perkins from Twilla City, when they switched from Cassell, they went to Tyler, who's the other program they're looking at. They had quite a few issues as well, you know, with that, but now they're about 5 or 6 years in, and so it's running great now. So.
I believe when you make a change, you need to have your staff really know the software they have before they switch over to something else, and that way they'll know what to look for in the new software to make sure it's running right. And we'll have a new HR director soon, and they need time to know the system, know Grantsville's issues, but we will work towards it.
We have a lot of new people
in new positions.
This is the hard part. I mean, I think sometimes your options for software, none of them are great.
Yep.
Right. They all.
I mean, you get to that point where no one's improving the product, or there's no new player in the space. So you've got, you know, I've had to make decisions with software where you're like, well, none of them are any good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but which ones fits our needs the best?
The lesser of the evils.
Yeah. Maybe which ones are promising the right upgrades at some point. I do think that, I mean, the way we're trying to allocate salary and wages amongst several staff members, it's got to be something that
does that better.
Well, does it better, or maybe we just get more disciplined on it. There's behaviors around it as well, right?
Well, and the issue we had with the three or four that went into the wrong one, it was an employee error.
It's not necessarily that, but I'm just saying, when you talk about someone who could have let's say Jesse, right? I mean, when you're saying, well, he spends time in RDA, he spends... There's an element of trying to... You can be like a...
You can allocate it to death.
Yeah, I mean, you could be so prescriptive. I mean, yeah, and so... Look, I'm not saying every minute I want to know, but I mean, I think even if you can evaluate and give some sense of, hey, here's how it's... Because I do think that there, you know, you have the ability now, and we could get it, where we could just pull and say, okay, where are these employees' salaries coming from and what percent, right? Look at their year-to-date statement and say they spent 35% on sewer and 40% on water and, you know, and get an idea of an allocation.
Well, this is the great thing about us getting bigger is our public works department, they're the ones that are mainly allocated.
Mm-hmm.
They are starting to get more specialized. This guy does just do parks. This guy does just do cemeteries. So as we get bigger and everybody isn't doing everything, it'll start to go under. That's something I've tried to do with the budget is not allocate them out to so many different ones and focus more on their specialty.
I'm sure he did sit down with Christy and said, okay, tell me so-and-so's job duties and look at that. And so we are in the process of correcting that so it is more reflective.
I also did not want to do it fast, and so that may be something in December that we really change again. This budget year was interesting. We had time issues, so that is something we're still looking at. We did our best to keep them to what you guys had approved before, because I do believe what you approved should be how the budget's reflected. So we are doing our best to correct it. But some of it does take time to do things right.
Chief, the only other question with you being here is I get asked, we probably all do, by certain individuals about the type of laptop needed in a police vehicle. Have you done any research on what that looks like and is there, since we're outfitting new vehicles or bringing on new staff, are we confident that we've done enough due diligence that says, hey, you know, based upon what the needs of our officers are, that's the type of, you know, laptop needed?
I've got a lot of laptops on grant funds, and prior to that, I did some research and got the best value.
Okay.
So they could fit into docking stations in my patrol, so they could dock monitors and then take it out so we didn't need as many desktops.
Right.
So yes, but that's been a few years, and I just kind of stayed with that product because it was that's what docking stations we have. And I try to get those on grants as well.
Yeah.
So, but I can ask Dean, our IT, to make sure that's, you know, good cost effective because I'm not as tech savvy.
Yeah, no, all I'm saying is, as long as I can look and say we've done the due diligence, I'm not saying there's any that we don't have the right machines. There's just some, you know, if your expertise is in that area, right, you begin to say, well, you know, that machine is so powerful, and based upon what they are using it for, you know, does it need to be that?
Well, we do have some that are powerful because we have data extraction tools for like cell phones, computers, stuff like that. So if they're seeing a couple of those come across, that's for the investigators and their specialized stuff.
Sure.
So that might be what they're seeing.
Sure.
But if I'm open to listening to somebody that has an expert opinion on it.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
Anything else? Sarah, do you have anything?
Please email me if you guys see anything else that you're concerned about. We want you to be comfortable with it.
Okay.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Make a motion.
Mayor, make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any more discussion?
All in favor.
Motion carries, we're done.
Thank you. Thanks, Sherry. Sorry, I...